Welcome once again to A Pain in the Glass podcast. This is your host, Bill Shearhart, Chartered Professional Coach with Coaches of Canada, coming to you from the ancestral lands of the Kettle and Stony Point First Nations in Grand Bend, Ontario. A Pain in the Glass podcast is sponsored by Canada Curling Stone of Kamoka, Ontario. This is Pebble Water 9.0, and there's only a couple of topics about which I wish to speak today. One is about words, and the other is about measuring. And then there's an interesting soundbite that I have for you. And I will end the episode with an invitation for you to join with me in an episode to answer questions about rules and competitions. But you'll hear more about that at the end. So let's get started with the first topic about words. Words matter. I have used that phrase in a previous episode. And the words that I'm targeting are knifing, carving, scratching, and directional brushing. The implication, especially with the words knifing, carving, scratching, is that somehow the brush heads, the yellow stuff, Oxford Nylon 240D, as I recall, is somehow, well, cutting or scratching, leaving marks, tracks, if you wish, onto the ice surface. There was brush head material at one time that did that. Period of time is euphemistically referred to as broomgate. Well, that ship has sailed. That's in the rearview mirror. So when commentators, who, as I said, do a terrific job analyzing the game technically and strategically and tactically, they're really good at what they do, but they've used an unfortunate set of terms, those knifing, carving, scratching, and I'll talk about directional brushing in just a second, because the inference that we make as consumers of their product is that somehow the ice is being gouged, cut, scratched, and that's simply incorrect. It's an unfortunate use of words. I don't have better words, to be quite honest, but I certainly wouldn't use those. I am not a TV commentator. If I was ever asked to do that, I'd come up with some better words. I'm a retired professional educator, and throughout my teaching career, I've tried to be very encouraging with my students to use the right terms. Just don't make stuff up. And I think these commentators are just making stuff up. As far as directional brushing is concerned, well, at one time there was directional brushing back during broomgate, because that knifing, carving, scratching, well, laid tracks. And by brushing in a certain manner, you could encourage a rock to follow those tracks. But you see, the yellow stuff, as I call it, does only one thing. It polishes the pebble, full stop. Let me repeat. It polishes the pebble. That's all that it does. This is now into the latter part of March. There have been podcasts where listeners have been talking about the possibility that brushing has again become more important than it should. I disagree. I think the balance is quite appropriate. But what I do see, watching some of the best teams in the world, and this is the week of the Women's World Championship in beautiful Sydney, Nova Scotia. It's the problem with some of those teams, and you'd be surprised at the countries that I would put into that category. Enough said. They are not brushing following the current sports science in the area. And better, instead of science, the current research. They're using the same system to hold rocks straight on one shot, and then they basically use the same system hoping to make the rock curl. Well, that doesn't make any sense. There's one particular country, shall be unnamed, and you'd be shocked if I was to tell you which country it is, who are actually doing exactly the opposite of the current research. When they want a rock to curl more, to encourage the curl, they're actually decreasing the curl. And, of course, vice versa. When they want to make it run a little bit straighter, reducing the curl, they're actually encouraging the curl. And I just shake my head because people involved with that team and the players in that team should know better. So what you're seeing on television is a bit of a mishmash. And as I said, that's for another time. Now, the other unfortunate term that we are hearing is sharpening. And that refers to the rocks themselves and that part of the rock that actually touches the ice, the running surface or running band. Nothing is being sharpened. Now, this is not an opinion on my part. I have done my own research. I have gone to the people that manufacture the rocks. They feel exactly the same. They wish that the word sharpening was not used because nothing is being sharpened in terms of the running surface. The running surfaces are being textured. That's the term that the rock manufacturers have suggested is used, that the running surfaces, through the use of an abrasive, is literally roughed up so that it can grab the pebble. And that's what makes a rock curl. Now, I could spend a good deal of time here talking about why I think a curling rock curls. I'll just say one thing to, if you want to find out if your brushing system works, get onto a very good sheet of ice and deliver some rocks with no rotation. You can do that by somebody delivering with his or her hand, but a really good way is to use a delivery stick. When you deliver a rock with no rotation, your system should make the rock start to curl in an intended direction, either in a clockwise rotation or a counterclockwise rotation. If you want to test your system, that's a way to do it. May not be terribly scientific, but it's scientific enough. So there's a practical application for you. Deliver rocks with no rotation, and then use your system to see if you can make them rotate intentionally left to right, right to left, clockwise or counterclockwise. There's the terms that now all of you who listen to a Pane of Glass podcast, when you hear knifing, carving, scratching, directional, like me, I hope you cringe. There has been a bit of a back and forth on Facebook, everybody's favorite social medium, I'm guessing, or at least one of the favorites. And it was all about measuring rocks. And so I thought I would spend a few minutes talking about measuring curling rocks. Well, first of all, there's two types of measures. The one that, as television viewers, we see, I'm going to refer to as a mechanical measuring device. The device that you don't see because it's used for the last stone draw competition or challenge before the game begins is a laser measure, and it's digital. The aforementioned mechanical measuring device is analog. So let's talk about that one for starters. The one reason, and we'll clear this up right from the start, the reason, or at least one of the reasons, why television viewers like the mechanical measure is so that the overhead camera can see the dial and, as the official, moves the measuring device into position to measure each of the rocks, you get to see how far the dial has moved. It doesn't matter the actual number, it's just the comparison of where the needle moved, and you're able to see which rock is closer to the button. The laser measure, the one that you don't see, as I said, because it's part of the Last Stone Draw Challenge, is, well, as I said, it's a laser, and it measures to a certain point on the striking band. Now, that's where the problem begins with the laser measure. It's measuring to a very specific point on the striking band. Now, as curlers will attest, the striking bands over time can chip. And so if that laser measure were to measure the inside of a chip, it's going to somewhat distort the distance from the striking band, the edge of the curling rock, to the button. And so if you're going to use that to measure, comparatively speaking, for scoring purposes, that can be a problem. And of course, the fact that it's going to be very difficult for the viewers in the overhead camera to distinguish the numerals which appear on the top. And they're relatively small compared to what you see with the mechanical measure. But they work very well for the LSD because they're quick and they're very accurate. And when you're measuring, you know, two rocks for each team times the number of rocks that are delivered, and I know there's more than one laser measure that can be employed, it really does the job for LSD. The mechanical measure is quite different. The piece of metal that is in a perpendicular configuration that actually rubs against the striking band really does touch the entire striking band. So it eliminates the problem of the chips. Now, let's talk about how you measure, because as a curler in a club, you're not going to use laser measures anyway. So let's do a little bit of measurement 101 here. And let's, for simplistic's sake, let's say you're measuring two rocks. Well, first of all, the only people who should be in and around the house are the thirds. Now, if it's a club situation, there will probably not be any officials involved. So the thirds are the ones that are going to be measuring. So first of all, from a safety perspective, if there is a measurement to be taken and all the other rocks have been removed from play, so often we see while one of the thirds, vices, mates, goes for the measuring device, the other third will place his or her brush on the ice surface to indicate that no one should be around the rocks. Well, sounds like a great idea, except it's very dangerous. You never have a brush lying onto the ice surface because somebody that doesn't know it's there, if they happen to step on the handle, that is extremely slippery, and almost certainly that person is going to be going down onto the ice surface. Please don't do that. If you are the third and you're standing in the house to sort of protect the rocks that are about to be measured, then do so. Just stand there and protect the rocks. Please don't put a brush down. Now, when the measure is brought into the house for the measurements, of course, you know that you put the pointy end into the button, into the pin, and then you set the measuring end of the device, the part that has the dial, you set it so it is going to register, it's set so that you will have the dial move. And when you move that measure, you do so being very, very careful that you don't put so much tension onto that bar that it will move the rock. So it's not a bad idea every once in a while to kind of practice measuring rocks because it can be a very important time in the game. Now, you also notice by convention, the officials always measure the rocks so that the measurement is moved. Remember, we're just measuring two rocks. The measurement is always moved in a clockwise direction And the person who's doing the measure always pushes the measure forward. You never pull the measure. And of course, ethically speaking, you shouldn't put any kind of downward pressure on the measure because that can distort it as well. So you're pushing the measure. Might as well do it like a professional official, certified official. Push the measure forward in a clockwise direction and try to take the shorter distance between the two rocks so that you don't have to go all the way around the circle to get to the second rock. And remember, the thirds must agree on the score of the end for the end to conclude. And of course, when there's a measuring situation, they both have to agree, you know, which rock is shot. Now, if there are three rocks involved, so let's say there's two yellows and one red. Well, you measure the odd-colored rock first. So in this case, the way I've set it up with two yellows and one red, you would measure the red rock first and then simply compare it to the other two. Now, if there's more than three rocks, you're going to have to do a little bit of thinking about which rock you think might be the closest and use that as the starter and compare it to the others. So there's a little bit about measuring rocks 101. So that's the reason why the mechanical measure is used for television purposes and the laser measures are used for LSP. I'd like you to listen to a soundbite. The soundbite that you're going to hear is the voice of Bill Walton, and he's going to talk about the early part of his, what would turn out to be Hall of Fame NBA career, when he was at the recruiting stage. So I won't say anything more about it, but here's that soundbite with Hall of Fame basketball player Bill Walton. It stops rather abruptly, but I think you're going to get the message, literally and figuratively.
Then my life was irrevocably changed when John Wooden walked into our family home. And he looks, my mom and dad looks at me and says, Billy, Mr. and Mrs. Walton, I know what all the other schools are promising you. That's not the way life works. There's no guarantees out there. The only thing I can promise you is I'll give you a chance to be a part of something special. But being part of something special, that's a privilege, Billy, and you got to earn it every single day. And then he turned to me and he said, if you want to be the champion in everything that you do, you have to understand that it's not how good you are, Billy. It's how good your teammates are. And that's why you come to a program like what we have at UCLA. Because your ultimate level of achievement, accomplishment, happiness, and success is not going to be based on just you.
Yes, it does end rather abruptly, doesn't it? But great message, and I wanted to share that with you. Now, I don't very often talk about upcoming episodes of A Pain in the Glass podcast, but I am in this instance because it's a chance for you to weigh in. Now, here's the situation. My South of the Equator roving reporter is Hans Fraunlob. You've heard me mention his name previously. He is also a member of World Curling's Rules and Competitions Committee. He has kindly consented to share the microphone with me and answer any questions about rules and competitions that you might have. To do it, you send your question to me via email, coachbill@hay.net. That's coachbill@hay.net. I will give you credit for your question, but if you'd rather that I not use your name, just simply indicate that in your email to me. So there it is, over to you. It's going to be a very short episode if there's only a couple of questions, but I think there's going to be some very good questions out there, and Hans has been very kind to make himself available. So if you'd like to ask questions of Hans Fraunlob, World Curling Rules and Competitions Committee, then fire away. An email to me at coachbill@hay.net. Well, that's it for today, folks. I didn't have a whole lot to say in Pebble Water 9.0, but I did want to talk about the topics that I did deal with. So until next time, it's not going to be the episode with Hans. I'm going to give you 2 weeks for this. So send your email to me, again, coachbill@hay.net. And wherever you are, my friends, please stay safe. And of course, think only those happy thoughts.